Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and it is so good to be with you here on this fifth Sunday after Epiphany. We are making our way toward Lent and Easter, and it is warm here in South Georgia, and I hope it is warm and beautiful where it is, wherever you are as well. Let us come together now in a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's psalm is the 138th psalm. Hear now the words of praise and love that we hear in the psalms that remind us of the love that Jesus is calling us all to share with the world. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of your glory, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us say together those words, friends, that are the tenets of our faith, those things that we are called to share. Just like the disciples were called to share of the love of God, we are called to share of our faith together. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you today with a calling to be fishers of men, a place where people can come and see you in our daily lives, in our worship, and in our mission. Help us to live out that calling in every part of our lives. Hear us now as we pray those words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us turn now to the Gospel of Luke and to the fifth chapter, verses 1 through 11, as we hear Jesus calling his disciples. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him near the word to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to burst. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come help them, and they came and filled both boats. So they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were astounded at the catch of fish they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who are partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Fishing is a completely anonymous pursuit. Maybe that's one of the things that makes it so attractive to those of us who become anglers. In the final estimation, it is always just you and the fish. And the fish has no preconceived notions of you. The fish neither knows nor cares anything about you. If you fail to catch the fish, it is always because you failed to make an offering enticing enough to persuade it. If you succeeded in catching a fish, it is for the most part through no particular merit of your own. Knowledge, skill, study, determination, whether a fish will strike, and whether you can thereafter land the fish before it throws the hook or breaks the line. But just as often, success is a fluke caused by mistake or miscalculation by a creature not far evolved from the time before time, when the earth was formless and desolate, and the raging ocean that covered everything was engulfed in total darkness. And the Spirit of God moved over the water. My friend Jim Barger, along with Dr. Carlton Hicks, wrote a beautiful book honoring the time spent fishing with President Jimmy Carter, titled Rivers and Dreams. It's a collection of stories about fishing trips that they, along with various heads of state and even some dictators, took all over the world. It's a collection of stories about the peace deals and friendships that were formed while wetting a line. It's ultimately a collection of stories not about fish, but about finding connection with people while fishing. I love to fish. I have fished rivers and streams in the intercoastal waterways. I have caught bass and crappie and redfish and even a shark or two. Fishing combines two of my favorite pursuits, doing anything on the water and eating. There's a lot you can learn while fishing. There's much more to learn about God, about yourself, about nature, and about the people you're with than there is to learn about the act of fishing. There are some days when not a single fish finds you remotely enticing. When you try every kind of lure, switch to live bait, to top water, you add a weight and take it back off, and nothing, not a single thing will bite. I have said more often than I really wanted to, that's why they call it fishing and not catching. Some days you just strike out completely. But then there are other days. The days that are filled with submerged corks and swallowed minnows that keep you coming back for more. Days when the tails of the big fish are not exaggerating and it never gets away. Days when the krill is so full of trout that you don't have room for any more. Days when you reach your limit of redfish and have to start throwing them back. Days when there are enough crappie in the boat to fry fish all summer and never run out. Those days are the ones that I still look back on with wonder and joy. But those days would not be as memorable if they happened each time I went out on the water. Sometimes the days of struggle, when the fishing is more like trying, and when you find out who you are, who you really are, when the struggle makes you think twice about ever fishing again. But that's the lesson fishing teaches. Never give up. Always keep throwing your nets. Always keep wetting a line. Simon Peter, James, and John were feeling the sting of fishing and not catching that fateful morning. There on Lake Gennesaret, or as we know it, the Sea of Galilee, they had pulled an all-nighter. And this kind of all-night fishing was not for fun. It was for work. They had mouths to feed at their own homes, and they had crews of men with families to feed as well. And here they were, tired, frustrated, and stressed out when they came to shore and were cleaning their empty nets. Enter Jesus with a request to use their boats. Instead of telling him that they were exhausted and anxious to get home and rest, they let Jesus use their boat as a platform to preach and teach to those on the shore. For their faithfulness and patience, Jesus does what most fishermen will not ever do. Jesus gave Simon Peter, James, and John a tip on where the best fishing hole was. Go to deep water, he says, and throw out your nets. Can you see their shoulders slump? Can you hear the inner dialogue? We are exhausted. We let you use our boats. You saw us washing our nets. Now you want us to go back out there? I love the Cotton Patch Gospel version of this story. Simon answered, Mister, we've worked our heads off all night long and we haven't caught a thing. But if you say so, I'll pull out the nets. And their faithfulness, even in the middle of their discouragement and frustration, was rewarded with so many fish that it broke their nets and almost sank their boats. The Cotton Patch says they caught a slew of fish. They went from fishing to catching. But then, they went from working nets and catching fish to serving with Jesus and fishing for people, working night and day to show love and mercy and kindness and a new way of life following the teachings of the Savior. It does not mean that when they changed what they were fishing for, that life got easier. Saving people is much more difficult than catching fish. There are days when you work so hard and try all you know to help people and nothing sticks. And then there are days when the Spirit of God is moving over the water and the opportunities are so many that you barely have room in the pew for all of the people that want to be caught, all of the people that are longing for a place to feel loved and cared for and filled with the Spirit. Those are the days that make the others worth it. I think the passage Jim wrote about fishing is partially true about fishing for people. It has very little to do with our own knowledge, skill, study, or determination. It is more about openness, faithfulness to God, and creating opportunities for people to see how the love of Jesus is permeating our own lives. That lures them into the possibility of having that same feeling for themselves. Where are the opportunities for you to cast your nets in deep water? Where can we be of service to those on the shore to help them find the love and acceptance that they are looking for? It is rare that people will seek us out. So we have to be the ones that keep casting out our nets. You never know when you will have a day when your curls will be full and your nets will break. One of my favorite days of fishing was in the Piedmont National Forest. They rotate what ponds they have stocked and open for people to use. So the fishing is really good. I was in my kayak in the middle of one of my favorite ponds, just as the beautiful golden hour came into being. Even without the fish, it was one of the most glorious days I've ever experienced on the water. And as I was admiring the golden rays coming through the trees, it seemed like hundreds of fish started hitting on top water. I was in the middle of the most amazing moment of the day when everything was perfect for catching fish. I was afraid that the fish would just hop right in the kayak with me. And as much as I wanted fish for supper, I'm not sure that's the way I would have wanted to catch them. But I certainly would not have turned them down. I had no net. I had no topwater lure on my line. So jumping in there with me was the only way I was going to get any of them home with me. Fishing is often an adventure. I like what Jim says about fishing. I think this is the part of the passage he wrote that hits home the most. To catch a fish is to experience grace in its most indiscriminate form. A fish doesn't know or care who you are, or who you know, or what you believe in or don't believe in, or what you look like, or what you have done, or what you have left undone. A fish doesn't know or care if you are rich or poor, or sinner or saint, or even if you once were the president of the United States of America. People that are longing to be caught up in something special are only looking for a safe group of people to do it with. Your background, your bank account, your job, the nuances of your beliefs don't matter. What matters is kindness, acceptance, and love. If we just keep doing that, and if we just keep asking them to be a part of it, people will not wait for us to lower our nets. They will be jumping on top of the water, trying to get in the boat with us. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. We have brought in our boats. We have left everything and followed him here to this place. It's time to go fishing. Amen. Let us become fishers of people this week as we go out into the world. Let us know that it is not about us, but it is about the love of God. And if we show that, people will come. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.